Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A man, no way. From the track when we unite and stick, this isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A man, no way.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined this week by a very special guest, friend of the show, multiple-time co-host, the one and only Scott Edwards. Hi, man. How you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back. I always love to jump on here, whether it be with you or JD, so thanks for having me.
You're like the fifth Beatle, man. You're like a Pete Best. Are you familiar with Pete Best?
I am not. But I appreciate I appreciate it.
Well, so Pete Best was he was credited on a lot of the Beatles songs as kind of like a kind of a studio musician. He would even go on tour with them sometimes. So he helped write a lot of their songs and was like a big part of their act. But he was never like a Beatle. He was just the guy that they hired per like per album, and they would bring him into the studio all the time. So they always called him the fifth Beatle, man. So you're like You're a big part of the family here on the Mike and JD Show.
He must have got paid like so much money to do nothing.
Yeah, well, no, he would come in and like help write a lot of the songs. And you guys so go on to Disney Plus and watch watch the documentary of what was the name of the last Beatles album? I can't remember the exact name of it off the top of my head, but. He was actually in on that, so you actually got to see him at work. He's like playing piano on some songs, he's playing guitar on some songs, he's doing all kinds of stuff. He was just like a legit studio. So they got guys that like it's their whole job to go with different bands and just play music in the studio. You can just like hire them to come in and be like a part of the deal. Oh, John Muse, yes, thank you, John. Let It Be, the final studio album for the Beatles. So yeah, he was help writing and composing all those songs. So he was a big part of the Beatles act. They just never really got the credit.
I'll take that. I'll take that role. I don't need any credit. This is Mike JD Show. It doesn't say my name here.
yeah, but we always love having you, man. We always love having you. So how's it been going in the Scott E world, man? What you got going on these days?
It's weird. So a few weeks ago, I got laid off from my job, but I feel like I'm more busy now than I was then, which is a very weird thing, but I've kept myself busy. I've started to do more work, whether it be in this side of things or just looking for like ways to make money, you know, and, you know, kind of enjoying summer at the same time. You know, when I got laid off, one of my friends said, you know, could be a worse time to get laid off, like at least in the summer. I was like, you're not wrong. So I've kind of enjoyed it. It's hot here in Mass, but you know, I've done my best, and we have a lot. We, you know, wrestling is very busy now, and I find myself in and out lately, but I think it's because I know like it's tournament season in Japan, so like I'm gonna have to lock in soon, so like let me take a little step back before I eventually lose my mind in a good way. In a good way, to be fair, I enjoy losing my mind.
Yeah, man, he's you got a lot going on, dude. Japan is in this weird time right now because you have like a couple new promotions starting up. You got New Japan right now, which is probably the coldest it's been in a long time. But then you got All Japan and Noah, who seemingly are catching a little bit of buzz, right?
Yeah.
Then you got the stuff that's going on in the Joshi world with you know, Stardom being broken off, and now Marigold is popping up, and you still got TJPW and Sendai Girls out there that are doing some big things. But man, it's kind of a weird time in Japanese pro wrestling.
Yeah, New Japan being I don't want to be mean and say bad, but New Japan being bad has given opportunity to everyone else in a weird kind of way, to the point where, like, you're watching Noah really rise up this year. You know, they've got their stuff together, and I've always enjoyed their product, but they've really got things together. You're watching them really succeed. I think All Japan going with youth has been very smart as well. you know, they went old for a long time because they had to, but you know, they all, I feel like all these companies saw New Japan not going with youth and were like, all right, maybe we should do that before, like, we're in trouble. I'm not saying New Japan's in trouble. They're still the biggest company in Japan, but
yeah,
you know, I'm not jumping for joy with New Japan these days, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you know, this year's G1 is probably the least interesting G1, I think, that since I'll be honest, I didn't really start becoming a fan of New Japan until like 2016, 2017, even though I actually went to a Tokyo Dome show in like 2006 because I lived there. And but like, I didn't know any of the Japanese wrestlers other than the guys that were on WCW, like Yuji Nagata and Tenzan and those guys. But yeah, I went to the New Japan show because Brock Lesnar was in the main event. It was I want to say the main event was Brock versus Masahiro Chono versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I think it was Nakamura for the IWGP title, and Brock Lesnar won. I'm pretty sure that was the match. I think that was the match. I know him and Nakamura wrestled at least once, but you got to forgive me. That was damn near 20 years ago. So I did go to that, and I remember like TNA was there, like the old, like mm-hmm. the old TNA. They had a lot of guys that were on that card, so they were there. But but I didn't really become a big fan. I know when Jarrett got involved and he started promoting Wrestle Kingdom. I still have the copy of it, but I have an old Wrestle Kingdom on my hard drive. I remember watching it live, and it was like from like 2014, 2015, but I still didn't get into it until I want to say the first Okada Omega match. And then after that, I was like pretty hooked. And then I think they signed a deal with Access TV, and believe it or not, I had like, I was in the Bay Area and I had Comcast, and Access was just one of the featured channels at the time. Mm-hmm. It no longer has that kind of cachet, but it was a big time back. Well, I don't want to say big time, but it was an important channel to me because they showed New Japan, but they also had like Japanese MMA, and then they also had like Access TV fights. So they're showing a lot of like independent MMA promotions, and MMA was probably my biggest thing. So I would say like 2016, 2017. So I didn't become like a big time fan. So I would say since then, this is probably the least interesting G1 since like 2016 for me.
Yeah, it's weird for me because I hated the big G1s they've done the past few years, mm-hmm. with like four blocks and like Chase Owens and all these people that aren't good enough to be in the G1 in my brain. But I think the problem with this year is like there's just so little interest, like overall, like there's no excitement. Like I think for a lot of people it's like the idea of the G1, it's exciting, and then like you look at the lineup and you're like, yeah, but there's no Okada, there's no Osprey, so like a lot of those big matches, which, you know, if I looked at a G1 lineup, they always had some of the matches, just most of the matches you circle, them being gone's tough. So it's like you're going into this thinking, okay, how many matches would I walk away from being like, that was incredible, you know? And I think that's a big part of it for me. You know, I've listened to Dave try to talk me into it. I, you know, listened to his and the way he talks about things. I'm like, I don't know. It's not working. I'll check out some of it, but
yeah. Well, you know, I have my buddy Justin Nipper who works for Noah, and so he and I still talk Noah every now and then. And so I actually was able to watch Noah over the weekend. Now, obviously, like AJ Styles and Mara Fuji was like a big selling point, but then I heard that Inamura, which I think they called him Yoichi.
Yeah,
I heard Inamura was in the main event, and that was a guy that I've been wanting to be in the main event since I started watching Noah like a couple of years ago. I missed the peak Noah. I was not a fan of Japanese wrestling back in like the peak Noah, like, you know, whatever, early 2000s. I just wasn't watching back then, but I got into it a couple of years ago, and the production quality is just off the charts. They have a ton of old dudes, but like the old dudes are still really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're still like, Noah. Like Goshi Ozaki's like, you know, he's like in his 40s. Marufuji is slowed down a lot, but like when he wants to, he can kind of turn up the heat. And then Takashi Segura and all those cats, they can still go, but then you got, you know, Kaito Kiyomiya and a ton of other dudes that are, but Yoshiki Inamura, like that was the guy I was like, I think that he's probably going to be the world champion one day. So whenever he got into the main event and the way that Noah kind of bounces that JHC around, I was like hoping he would win. Unfortunately, he didn't. But and I kind of dug the Yoichi character, but they got some stuff cooking. So Justin Nipper's keeping me like in the loop on Noah. So I've been more interested in Noah than New Japan lately. And then fucking Joe Lanza, my boss, him talking about All Japan on the flagship got me looking up some All Japan stuff lately, man. So I think it's kind of cool that, hey, look, the top dogs, they're still the kings of Japan, but they've dipped a little bit. I think that's fair to say. And it's like you were just saying, it's really allowed All Japan and Noah to kind of come back up a little bit.
Yeah, it really has. I think Noah has, I mean, Noah has really done it with going with Kaito and like you said, Yoshiki Inamura, who went by Yoichi for like three matches and then was like, yeah, I don't want the name anymore, which is pretty funny just to think about.
I thought Yoichi was kind of cool. I thought that was kind of a cool name.
I liked it too. Anytime the Japanese wrestlers go with the all caps single name, I'm always into it, right, randomly. But he was like, yeah, I don't want it anymore. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was cool for a match. But they gave him the main event of, you know, Nippon Budokan, which is like, that's what I wanted from Noah the past couple of years. Like when I've tuned in, it's like, oh, go with the young guy, go with Kaito. They're doing that. Go with Yoichi, right? They're doing the right thing. So I think you're right. It's like going with these other promotions because New Japan's just not clicking. It's exciting in a way. Like obviously it's not great, but it's kind of like what we see with when WWE's hot, right?
Yeah.
When WWE's hot, everyone else kind of suffers. When New Japan's hot, it feels like a lot of the other Puro companies suffer. And now it's like, okay, we're seeing them come up while New Japan's a little bit down. I mean, like, they're never going to reach the New Japan height. That's just not possible. But hey, if you're giving me good wrestling, I don't give a shit. You know, like, that's what I'm here for.
And I think Jake Lee bailing on Noah and going to New Japan is very helpful to Noah.
Yeah.
I felt like he was kind of a drag as the world champion. Yeah. I just didn't find him to, like, his whole character is kind of like a Naito ripoff where he just doesn't care, you know, but he just doesn't have the charisma that Naito has. He's a big guy. And like when he wants to, he can kind of, you know, get it a little bit. But for the most part, there's not much interesting about Jake Lee. And I think that the fact that he is a bigger guy in Japan, which kind of sets him apart from a lot of those other dudes. Like he's never going to be a junior heavyweight, right? He was born a heavyweight. So I think that got him some opportunities that maybe he wouldn't have gotten. And now he's in the Bullet Club. And so I'm like, oh man, New Japan, what are you thinking? And hey, Noah, you guys, I think you guys just got a little bit better.
I totally agree. I think Jake Lee's a charisma vacuum. Who's not all too good to begin with. The crazy thing about him, though, is he can be the youngest guy to win the Triple Crown, GHC, and IWGP belt ever. You know, you've seen that past couple of years with, like, Nagata and Muto and Kojima.
Yeah.
Please don't put Jake Lee in that conversation ever. He does not deserve to be in that conversation.
Well, and Kojima has one leg up on all of them because he also has the MLW championship under his belt. MLW legend. He was I think he might have been the first one.
Doesn't he have it now?
He has it now. Yeah, he has it right now. Yeah.
That's real. I would book Kojima too. Kojima's still good. I like Kojima.
Hey, King of the North's in the chat talking shit right now. So hold on. He hit me up and I've been meaning to get back to doing some bad tweets. So I want to start off with just a horrendous tweet. And I think it's, I want to do this with you on the show because I think that you'll get a kick out of this one. Now, I do apologize. I don't know who the person is that made the tweet, but we're going to bury him. And so, Scotty, I hope he's not your friend.
All right.
This one specifically, this comes to us from King of the North. I have not solicited bad tweets, and I was been meaning to get to some lately because King loves them. But here we go. Let's see. Let me go full screen on this bad boy. All right. So this guy, Jordan Castle, I don't know who this guy is. He says, I need Broken Matt versus Maki Ito more than I need breathable, livable air, actually. Full stop. What in the hell is this guy talking about?
People watch wrestling a lot weirder than I do. Like, what? I don't even understand, like, one, why you'd ask for that in the first place. Two, why you would give up your life for that match, essentially, because that's essentially what that said, right? Like,
yeah.
Breathable, livable. That was a fitting bad tweet.
Yeah. You know, because Matt Hardy is going to be going to Game Changer. He's going to do a shot with them, I guess. And Maki Ito. Is she still around? Is she still doing stuff in the States? Or is she, what is she up to?
I think she only does GCW now for the most part. She goes back to Japan for like a month at a time now. It's like the opposite. You would think she'd go to America for a month at a time. No, it's more like she's mostly just running GCW.
Yeah, but I thought that one was I thought that one was pretty funny. I was like, it's like, what the hell is this guy on? Why is he going on about needing this more than breathable, livable air? But hey, chat, we're gonna get to you guys. We're gonna get to you guys right away, and then we're gonna get into some AEW talk. I got a bunch of notes here, lots of news that's out there right now. Janelle Grant story, we're not staying away from that story, so we're going to keep on that one. And then at the end of the show, for my TNA fans, I see some TNA fans in the chat, we're actually going to do a full Slammiversary preview, because Scotty has been hitting me up. He's been wanting to do some Brace for Impact stuff with me, and we have just not been able to get to it. So we're going to do kind of a mini episode of Brace for Impact today, and we're actually going to do a full rundown of Slammiversary. And give you, and now that all the matches have been announced, so they actually tweeted out a bunch of new matches that they had announced. So we're going to talk about that. But let's go. King of the North said here to check on Mike, make sure he's okay after those match announcements. Hey, look, TNA when they do their matches, man, they announce like four matches a month out, and then everything else is just like filler. So all the stuff they announced today, with the exception to. And we'll get to it a little bit. We'll save our opinions, but the Rascals versus No Quarter Catch Crew, I'm kind of interested in that one. So I think that one's going to be pretty good. IO Productions in the house. What's up, IO? John Muse, resident Beatles expert. Said Abbey Road was actually the last album, but Let It Be was released later. And he said, I'm a Beatles nerd. Yeah. Dude, I got into the Beatles later in life. I think I was like in my early 30s, and I kind of went down a rabbit hole. Because Paul McCartney was on the Howard Stern show, and they did an hour interview with him, and then like before and after, I think Howard was on the air for like two or four hours or something like that, just playing old Beatles songs and talking about the songs, giving you the history. I thought it was pretty good. Oh, King of the North talking shit again. He said Marigold bad, I fear. We're gonna talk about some of the Joshi matches from over the weekend. I have that slated, but I don't know. Is Marigold actually bad or is it good? What's going on there?
No, it's great.
Okay. All right. Okay. I just making sure. Jan says, do you guys think that they will give Joe Hendry the title? You know what, Jan, we're going to save that for the end of the show. So stick around. We're going to do a full Slammiversary preview, coming up, and we will give our predictions. And, that is the main event of Slammiversary, Joe Hendry. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. G1 is the most interesting. G1 since 2018, probably they fucked around with the box too much in recent years. I just think is like as far as star power, they just don't have it this year.
Yeah, that's probably it. Missing lost like at so the mixture is Tanahashi's knees going out, Okada and Ospreay being gone, Naito being near his end. You know, it's just like that's a lot of star power you lose in I think a year. You used to be able to just count on Tanahashi. And then last year you saw it as like, ooh, I don't know anymore. Now he's not even in it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be interesting if some of these young guys that they have in the company, if they start stepping up and maybe they can end up taking over the company. But yeah, I don't know, man. So speaking of young guys taking over a major company, last night on Dynamite, dude, I want to say, I'm going to ask you the question. Chat, I want you guys to chime in. Was Will Ospreay versus MJF, they went 59 minutes and like 59 seconds. Was that the greatest television, okay, keyword here, television match? No, we're not counting pay-per-view, okay? Was that the greatest television match in AEW history? Scotty, you go ahead.
For me, no. Which might be, I don't know if that's a hot take anymore. Like this listen, I'm going to have a little side.
Go for it. Here. Fucking unleash hell, brother.
Twitter has been painful today. Whether you love the match or you hated the match, it's just gone off the charts today.
Yeah.
Of like, if you love the match, it's like, you know, there's, I see like 7 articles about why Will Ospreay can sell. And then if you hated the match, I could see 7 articles why Will Ospreay can't sell. And I'm like, okay, hold on. Why is he the problem that you have of this match? Why is it not MJF? Yeah. Like what? Like if anyone, because I notably called MJF a meme wrestler living in a main event persona recently. Cause with his baby face stuff, now he's heel again. So we might be fixed, but, MJF got to the point where like he became pretty much unwatchable for me for a while there. Mm-hmm. And I know I talked to JD about that a few times. I think he had me on well at the towards the end of last year where I think JD was losing it. But yeah, it's just the discourse about today has been crazy. I prefer, if we're talking TV matches, I prefer like Omega versus Danielson, but I have a bad attention span. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I have a bad attention span. 59 minutes, like it's hard to keep me engaged. And they, you know, I will give them credit is they never slowed down.
Yeah,
like that was something really impressive about this match. They really never slowed down. I think that's super impressive because 59 minutes of going is not how you do 60-minute matches. It's just not, right? There's a lot of waiting around usually. There's a lot of sitting around and in many ways it can get boring. Or you have the first 30 minutes where it's like this bit long build and there's just a lot of grappling. They didn't do that, so I appreciate that. I think my main thing is like I can't stand ref bumps.
Yeah,
like I feel like we've just gotten to a point in all of wrestling where they happen so much. So at the end of 59 minutes, I was like, oh, come on. I knew something was coming if MJF were going to win. But at that point, I accepted a draw. So like I applaud them for not going to the draw. But at the same time, I was like, oh, I'm so done with ref bumps. Maybe that's a personal problem. But in the end, like the efforts these two put in, I do applaud what they did. It's a long ass match and no matter what I think, no matter what anyone thinks, it drew.
Yes,
so that's a winner.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the quarter hour look. I don't get into like the quarter hours and me all that either. Stuff. That's way too in the weeds for me. But look, it was up like over 100,000 viewers, and I think in the key demo it was up. I don't know what percentage it was up, but it was up, and it's. It was going against the RNC, which the RNC is kind of dominating everything. I can't open my phone or turn on my tele. Like every news station has coverage of the RNC, especially with what happened over the weekend. Like it is. And then what, not only what happened with Trump, but what's currently going on with Biden, that is kind of dominating everything. So for them to be able to do that. And then not only that, to go up against a Caitlin Clark basketball match. I think that's one of the better Dynamite ratings that this might be like the peak that we get for the next couple of years, to be honest with you. Episode 250. I don't know that we can recapture that. Cause that was big time. I know Blood and Guts might get a good number, but I don't know if it's beaten this week.
I am not someone that enjoys the War Games match anymore. And I'll tell you why. I had somehow I had the luck of Survivor, the first Survivor Series War Games happening in Boston, and then the Blood and Guts last year happening in Boston. So I was at both.
Yeah.
Live experience isn't that great when you can see like half the match at once. But it should be a draw, right? Even if I have some major complaints with the Elite's booking over the past month or two or three.
Yeah.
But it's still Blood and Guts. So you would think it should be a draw for that last hour that they give them. It has the world champion in it. To me, you know, I think Hangman and Swerve is still such a hot feud. You kind of felt that when they went face to face yesterday. So like that for me is driving it. Plus Darby's going to do something stupid. So, I mean, that always drives me to interest as well. So it should be a good back-to-back for them.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's going to be like significantly down. I just don't know that we can get back to that. That's a tough one. It depends on what the competition is next week too. I think that factors into it. But so we got some people in the chat and they're chiming in too. They also do not agree that or not agree. They also agree with you actually that it is not the greatest television match in AEW history. I have seen people that say that. And then I have seen a bunch of people say that it wasn't good at all. So it's like, it really is, just depends on what side of the tribalist spectrum that you're on. But now here on the Mike and JD show, we have a very much a sex having audience and they can see through the bullshit and they don't play the game of tribalism. They can go right down the middle and just call it how they see it. And so we got some folks in the chat. Kieran says, probably is, but Hangman versus Danielson also comes to mind. That one is mine. Hangman versus not Hangman. Mine is Omega versus Danielson, but Hangman versus Danielson. You have Winters coming from a while ago, but then I thought
they had two matches, right?
Last week.
I think they've had like four on TV.
Yeah. And so I think the one from Winters coming and then the one that was just last week, the finals of the Owen Hart tournament, I thought was actually better than MJF and Ospreay, but that doesn't mean I don't like MJF and Ospreay. Io says Omega Danielson. I loved that one. And then King of the North says, there's been so much awesome wrestling in the 5 years they've been on TV. And then he cites specifically Omega versus Rey Fénix. And I thought that was another really good one.
That's a great shout. I mean, if we want to name matches, I think Omega and Danielson, obviously. Omega versus Fénix is a great one. Kind of a forgotten one.
Omega versus Vikingo. Do you guys remember that one? Great one. That was awesome. Yeah.
I feel like Danielson's had a million matches on TV over the past. Like Danielson versus Roosh, I love that match from last year when he was doing the 100 matches thing. I think that's great. Yeah, for 5 years, they have some of the best wrestling TV in terms of matches ever. So,
yeah.
It's hard to say it's the best, you know.
We got a Cody shout out, Sammy versus Cody ladder match where Sammy did the cutter. Yeah, that one was a big one. You know, what else was really good, I thought? Was Cody versus Andrade, where they had the fire. That one was really good too.
I forgot.
Remember that one? That might have been his last match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was the ladder match his last match? I cannot remember, but
I think the ladder match was Cody's last match. I'd even say Cody and Brody Lee, the
dog collar. Yeah. Cody versus Brody Lee. Let's see. Another one here is Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa. Lights out. I thought that one was really good. I think they got a five boy out of old Uncle Dave. Now you were talking about.
I know it didn't because he's rated one women's match five or higher in the past 30 years.
So you know he did or he didn't?
He did not. It was not.
I thought he did. Somebody fact check me and Scott on this one.
If I'm wrong, I could have swore. It's fine. But
I could have swore, and I don't go to cage match anymore because I only rated a couple of matches and then I never went back on the cage match. And then I tried to go back on it recently and my account was like disabled. So,
that's happened to me. I am actually checking now myself. He got 4.75.
4.75. Okay. 4.75. He does kind of underrate like women's matches sometimes.
One in 30 years.
What is it? Was it the Utami versus
Shuri? Yeah. Five and a half. Utami versus Shuri from 2021 got 5.5 stars.
I watched that match. That match was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was a fantastic match. So you were talking about Blood and Guts earlier, and I was in my I have a group chat, and we just kind of like a wrestling fan group chat, and we were talking about it, and I saw the lineup, and I was like, you know, the last couple of Blood and Guts have been a little bit underwhelming, but they have been interesting going into them. I think this is the one that's probably, it might end up being the best match of them all, but it's the least interesting going into it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not feeling the Team Elite versus Team AEW because I cannot get my head around the fact that they're all working for AEW, yet there's the Team AEW versus other people that are also AEW. They just happen to be in a higher level in AEW. So, like, the lack of creativity with the team names pisses me off a little bit. I think the Elite storyline has not been very good, despite the fact that I think the Bucks are very good, like, as performers. And I also don't like the way that Okada's being portrayed. I think he's becoming a one-note joke that you would see on WWE television. I think it stinks. And I'm disappointed in how they're using Okada. Even though at the beginning of it, I was a big fan. I like heel Okada. I think he's a good asshole. I loved asshole Okada fighting Kaito Kiyomiya. I thought that was probably my like one of my favorite things he's ever done. Mm-hmm. But he's in AEW and he's kind of a joke now.
Yeah, everything you just said, I 100% agree with. That's exactly how I feel about it all. I think you're right. It could be the best Blood and Guts match, like in ring. But why should we be invested? You know. Like, yeah. I forgot why there was a Team AEW. I was trying to think back, like, how did this all start? I was like, oh, right, they attacked Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Like, yeah. It's taken such a left turn to being comedic. And, like, I think Okada being, like, saying bitch and stuff was fun for a while. But, like, I've hit my limit. I watch Kazuchika Okada because he's a great wrestler.
Yes.
Right? I don't watch him for the bits. I'm sorry. I don't. Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah.
And
I think him doing the bitch stuff is like borderline racist, to be honest with you. And I talked to a friend of mine who is half Japanese, and he was like explaining it because I didn't really see it at first. And then like, he was explaining it to me. It's like the people that are ESL English, that's second language. A funny thing to do to them in school is to teach them cuss words. And they just say the cuss word over and over again. And I was like, you know what? I grew up in an area of California where there's a lot of immigrants there. And that was something that we did. And I remember it now. I didn't think about it at the time. And then I'm looking back on it. I was like, that actually was pretty fucking racist thing to do. like to make fun of somebody that is ESL, you would just like give them a cuss word and they just say the cuss word over. You kind of sit around laughing at them saying cuss words. And I was like, I kind of see where my friend's coming from when he pointed that out. I was like, yeah, that is very sticky. It is kind of stupid. And I really just want to get back to, like, I like Okada in the suit. I like him coming in the fancy cars, kind of doing like the hotshot Japanese guy coming in. His gimmick could be like, he's rich and he's the greatest in the world. And we need to get rid of the comedy aspect of his character, 'cause I can't stand it.
That's the easiest gimmick for him because they're both kind of true, you know,
like
he's at least in the best in the world conversation. And we all know that he got a lot of money.
And he might be a little bit of an asshole too. And according to people in New Japan, when he was on the way out, like that's kind of like he is a little bit of a dick, you know?
Yeah, he can be, you know?
Yeah.
Good for him. And like you said, him versus Kaito, like that whole story that they did last year, that's some of the best work I've ever seen Okada do in terms of like one character, in terms of the way they built that. If they brought that to AEW television, they'd have a top undeniable heel that I feel like they've kind of been looking for. I know MJF's a heel now and Hangman's doing what he's doing, but like Okada felt like locked in for that. And then it just stopped.
Yeah, I think when he was fighting Kaito, I could believe that he was really mad and that he really hated Kaito. Like if you were to tell me that he really hated Kaito, I would believe it. You know what I mean? Like that's how good his performance was. They might be best friends, I don't know. But to me, like it would not shock me if he hated that motherfucker because I just felt like his performance was that good. He was fantastic. He was knocking the shit out of that guy. And to his credit, Kaito doing the same to him. So they were both great in their roles.
Yeah, I've replayed that kick to the head that Kaito did on Okada from that. It must have been All Together or something, where it all started of Kaito, you know, Okada just like chased him after he got kicked in the head. I was like, see, that's great pro wrestling. That's what I like to watch. I like to watch two guys beat the shit out of each other because they do not like each other.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, we got some more topics to get into. Let's go ahead and get into, you know what? Let's go ahead and get into this Janelle Grant. I actually have some talking, not talking points, but I just got some notes that I copy and pasted from, I think, the Observer website. You know what? Never mind. My notes just died. So there you go. Whoops. My bad on that. So Janelle Grant's petition for medical records in a lawsuit against WWE, Vince McMahon, and John Laurinaitis. So she's alleging that McMahon arranged for her to be seen at a clinic. This clinic was led by a celebrity doctor, and I had it in my notes, so I do apologize. Oh, Dr. Colker, C-O-L-K-E-R. He's like a celebrity doctor, and he gives out, like, he's got like an anti-aging clinic, and he does antidepressants and all kinds of different stuff. Well, apparently this scumbag was giving her pills, and in a prearranged thing, Vince McMahon was making the appointments for her. She was seeing the doctor for like insomnia and different things, and he was giving her all kinds of unmarked pills and not really explaining to her why she should take them and all this stuff. So she is, they're requesting the medical records from that. And of course, Vince McMahon's team is trying to get that stopped. And because there's currently a stay in it because of the federal probe that's going into to Vince McMahon. So he's actually being investigated by the federal government. I think people forget about the piece. And so because of that investigation, the Janelle Grant's lawyers have actually paused the lawsuit and to not impede the federal investigation. But they're going to go ahead and move forward and request these medical records from this doctor. And despite the fact that this really has nothing to do with Vince McMahon, it's just a celebrity doctor. Vince McMahon's legal team is trying to stop it, and it's very clear then we know why. It's because there's probably some damning evidence in those medical records and all those things. So but that's the latest. Sorry, I actually had much better notes, so I do apologize to everybody. And if I go to the Observer site right now, it'll nuke the feed because of the pop-ups. So I'm not gonna do it. It'll actually slow down my video and it'll fuck everything up. So I can't go do that. But I actually did have it copy and pasted and it messed up. So that is the latest on the Janelle Grant lawsuit, man. So you know, what do you make of this whole thing and where we sit with this thing?
I've long been on the Vince McMahon's a piece of shit and should rot side of things. I won't hold that back. And the more that comes out, it's the more it's like, you know, I go back to like the Laurinaitis thing when Laurinaitis flip-flopped. And it's like, man, you like, how do you see something like that and think, oh, well, you're guilty, obviously. And then it's like, the more that comes out about this, the more like kind of sad I get with the business that I follow. You know, it's, you know, wrestling and it's real life stuff. Like, take the wrestling out of it. This is a human being that went through so much traumatizing stuff that, and you said it perfectly. Like, they're trying to stop it for a reason, right? They're trying to stop those records getting out for a reason. You know, every time something new comes out, I read it because it's like, you want to stay up to date with this. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the wrestling world has moved on from it, but you know, this show, does a great job keeping up with it, which I appreciate. I think the Observer keeps up with it when stuff goes out. And there's others that do a good job as well.
Post wrestling, obviously, and Brandon Thurston, yes. And our buddy in front of the show, BJ Bethel, does a great job.
Yes, BJ Bethel. I always see his tweets pop up when something new comes out, so I appreciate the work he's put in of following it, because I think, you know, I'm happy someone's doing it, because it's the biggest story of the year, and it hasn't ended. There's just more and more, and it does make me sad that, like, the industry has just moved on so quickly in a way.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those tough things, because it's like you want to keep covering it, but without any new information, it's hard to keep it in the headlines every single week.
For sure.
So you can't really do that. And then with WWE, you know, you want to you also don't want to accuse anybody that's still there, because we just don't have the evidence to back any of it
up. Of course.
Right. We think we know that the people that are still there at least had a say in it, or overlooked it, or did any of that stuff. But right now we don't have those. We don't have any of that. We don't know that that's true yet. We think it, but we don't know that it's true. And so what we don't want to do is then what are we going to not cover WWE? They're the leaders in the industry. It's like saying that, hey, I disagreed with the way that the NFL handled Colin Kaepernick, so I'm going to quit my job as an NFL reporter. Right. Mm-hmm. And not talk about football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you can hold WWE accountable. And every time the story pops back up and we get new credible information, we'll continue to cover it. And at the same time, you can still rate the shows based on their merits. So I'm not going to say, you know, it's like I watched a couple weeks ago Money in the Bank. Right. I did not think that was a very good show. But I didn't think it was very good because of the lawsuit. That had nothing to do with it. I didn't think it was very good because it wasn't very good.
You watched it as a wrestling show.
Yeah. I try to separate it and deal with each thing individually, right? Like, I can like a match in WWE and I don't feel guilty about that. Although at first it was difficult. It really was, because that story broke and then the Royal Rumble happens. And I did a Royal Rumble post show, and I kind of felt weird about it. But that weirdness has gone away. Because you just kind of move on and you try to attack both things individually. But it is a difficult thing to do. And I get why people don't like it and why people would feel uncomfortable with it. And I'm not judging anybody either way, but that's just the way that I've chosen to deal with, you know?
Yeah, I get that. As someone that has watched since it's all happened, especially like that first month or so when information kept going out, I'd like see a clip, or the Royal Rumble was a good example. It's like I watched that show and I was like, I don't know, this just doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I understand where you're coming from. It's like, you know, you can do both. You can cover, watch the product that they're doing well, following with this lawsuit, following with all this legal stuff, and staying on top of it. I think that's a very important part, which is why, again, I appreciate what you guys do here. It's like you're not letting it go, you know?
Yeah. So I was able to get some of the information while we were talking. So Grant's attorneys are requesting a comprehensive list of documents, including electronic medical records with metadata, record keeping and billing procedures, payment records, payment arrangements between McMahon, WWE, and Peak Wellness. So this is a wellness place, and she is not a pro wrestler. She's like a whatever her job was. I can't remember. I think a paralegal, but I can't remember. Her prescribed treatment details on her prescribed treatments, communications, and Dr. Colger's involvements in recommending Grant's attorney for the alleged non-disclosure agreement. They're definitely build a case. And then Vince McMahon's spokesperson called Grant's petition a violation of the court-ordered stay, and accused her of trying to generate publicity and harass people connected to McMahon. They also stated that Grant had previously praised Dr. Colger and her story has changed over time. I get the feeling they don't have evidence of that, but that's just what they're saying. So let's see. Grant's attorneys allege that the provided paper records are incomplete and inaccurate, and they also claim that Peak Wellness has not complied with the request from electronic records and associated metadata. There are inconsistencies in billing, missing records. So they're just trying to get all that stuff straight. And these records are critical for providing a potential civil conspiracy, falsification of medical records, RICO violations, and other serious allegations. The lawsuit against WWE McMahon and Laurinaitis. I'm going to say that again, just so everybody's clear. The lawsuit against WWE McMahon and Laurinaitis is currently paused due to federal investigation by the Department of Justice into McMahon. So there you go. That's where we're at with all of that. King of the North says, I thought the post on the Observer board where Buddy mentioned that he had all these things in order. Who else has he done this to? So like McMahon just has like this doctor on standby and he can just send people to that doctor. and get them to prescribe the person whatever they want, or whatever Vince wants. Maybe he's in, like, sounds like he might be in control of that situation. But like, hey, look, here, I got this person. Mm. You know, I don't want to get too graphic, but you know, you kind of know where I'm going with it, right? But yeah, man. So that's where we stand right now. We're gonna keep on top of the story, we will not be letting this go. We will definitely not be letting this go. All right. Before we get to our Slammiversary, preview, I do want to make mention of this. Jinder Mahal today is a free agent. He is free to go anywhere. And it just so happens there's a big event on Saturday that is live. And that event is AEW Collision. What are the chances we see Jinder Mahal make his debut in AEW and challenge One Hook, who I think people online were kind of talking shit and trying to discredit the good name of a Jinder Mahal and comparing him to Hook at one point.
It'll definitely happen. I feel like it'll happen eventually, but isn't Hook written off right now?
Like, I think so. But also, like, people recently, like, a guy in WWE just got shot, and then like he was on TV the next week. So I think in like pro wrestling, you can come back. You're relatively
imagine good. Rushing back Hook just so he has a match with Jinder Mahal.
just so I can complete the joke, the meme. The whole thing with Tony Khan was so funny. It's like, why are you, dude? Like, okay, look, none of us are fans of Jinder. Okay.
No.
But Jinder had nothing to do with that. If you guys don't remember, this was the time, like, Tony Khan needs to stay off Twitter, to be honest with you, but like, have some decorum, sir. Have some decorum. Have some respect for yourself. But you're online messing with trolls. But anyway, Hook had a world title match against Samoa Joe, and everybody's like, why does he deserve this match? But at the same time, on WWE, Seth Rollins and Jinder Mahal were getting ready for that same week for Jinder Mahal, who hadn't won a TV match in forever, to get a world title match. And so Tony Khan goes online burying Jinder Mahal, and Jinder's like, what did I do? I'm just like, I just work here, man.
You know what's crazy about that match that I now vividly remember? That's the match that Seth Rollins got hurt in for like the next 3 months.
Yeah. And like, and the match stunk. And partly, I mean, Jinder, not very good. Right. I mean, like, I think we all can acknowledge that, but then like also stunk because Seth got hurt. Right.
And he had no knee for like half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't good. But it was Jinder, so it wasn't good either way. It wasn't going to be good, to be fair. Like, that I think people talk themselves into things sometimes because they're like, oh, let's all support Jinder. And it's like, I don't know if you guys know this, the match is still not going to be good. I hope.
No.
Like, don't count on it. Something dramatically changing after all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys in the chat, let me know where you think Jinder is going to end up, possibly on Saturday, the big event that's happening on Saturday. And then one last thing, Scotty, since I got you here, we got to do some Joshi talk. Got you here. So Joshi talk with Scott E Wrestling. Before we get into our Joshi segment, because I'm going to clip this for YouTube, let's plug your podcast, sir. Let's plug where you're doing all your Joshi stuff.
Yeah, you can check out the 5-star Joshi show over on the Fight Game Media Network. If you want to go check out the Marigold Summer Destiny review, that is up over on the YouTube channel. Full video, you can check it out under the live tab. It was great 2-hour-plus conversation talking about Io Sky versus Tommy Hayashishita, Julia versus Sari, Julia's future, all that good stuff. We'll have another episode. We have episodes usually out on Fridays, so there will be an episode out tomorrow or by the time you're listening to this. So if you're into it, if you want to get into it after watching Marigold, you want to get into it watching Stardom stuff in AEW, come listen to my show. That's why I'm here.
He is the foremost expert on in this hemisphere when it comes to Joshi wrestling. Nobody knows more than Scotty Wrestling over here in the United States. So everybody go check that out. So I have a couple of questions for you, and I've just been curious. So now that Marigold is, they're in full force and they're on Wrestle Universe, and I think it's a very well produced product. I think that they didn't know, I think somebody in the chat buried Mark Pickering, but I think Stu Fulton is their lead announcer right now, at least on the English side. And so I was able to watch the English broadcast of it, And I thought he did a very good job doing English commentary. So now that Marigold's in full force and looks, and they very well produced on Russell Universe, they got a whole thing going. Looks like they did a pretty good house where they were at over the weekend. Are they taking away from Stardom's popularity? Could you see Stardom dipping because of this?
Yes and no. Yes, because I think there's a different set of fans that have jumped into Marigold. I think they're so there. I think there was a serious batch of Joshi fans pre Bushiroad Stardom that kind of left this, left at the time. And I think they've come back for it. But, you know, Stardom's attendance has been kind of going down most of the year as is. So it, you know, probably plays part in part. But Stardom's always going to – Stardom has the big-time backing of Bushiroad, and that's always going to, you know, do them well. They still have an incredibly talented roster that's going to power them through. But, you know, it's – the fact that Marigold's 2 months old and they did 3K in the Sumo Hall the same day that –
Hold on. King of the North said they did 3,100 in a 12,000 seat venue. Oh, so like an AEW show. Sorry, go ahead and continue, Scott.
So like they did 3,000 in, you know, all the in 2 months while the Nippon Budokan show was running at the same time for Noah. Like, you know, it's the same area. That's a good job by them. And that show was very lively, very hot, which was nice to see. You know, Sumo Hall, unless you're New Japan, you're not filling that arena, right? You're not packing it to the
game. Yeah. Have you ever been to Japan, Scott?
I have not.
No, you got to get there one day. I actually went to an event in Sumo Hall, but it was a WWE event back in the day. I think 2006, 2007 time frame. But that place is like, that's a really good sized venue.
Yeah. Like the size, and when I watch it on a first show, it's like, man, that building is huge. Like you can just see it when they like pan out for any show, and you know, anyone that runs it, like good for them. It's not an easy building to run, but we're also in a time, I don't know if people know, it's like the Oda Ward venue in Japan's right now going under construction. I think there's a few others that are going under construction. So like picking building, it's either like Korakuen or you go to Sumo Hall or you go to another part, but that's for Tokyo, which is like very notable right now.
Yeah. So they had some really big matches in Marigold over the weekend. I was able to watch a couple of them because a good brother on Twitter decided to put up two full matches. Like, oh,
yeah,
thank you, sir. Thank you. You're a very helpful person. I was able to watch the Utami Io Sky match, and that fucking ruled. And then as well as the Julia, how do you say her name? Sari.
I think Sari was how she said in WWE maybe, but yeah, it's Sari. You were right.
Yeah. So obviously Io Sky was there as representative of WWE. I think we'll see stuff like that going forward with some of their big shows, especially because it looks like Marigold is kind of tied to Abima a little bit. You know, with them being on Russell Universe, I think there might be a friendship there. You know, WWE is on Abima TV right now, and so I think that's also part of the reason why they're more than willing to send talent to Noah, because not only are they trying to gain a foothold into Japan, but their television partner is that it helps them. So I think that's and they're probably going to try to destroy it. We all know WWE, but so we did see Io Sky, and then Julia is signed to WWE, yet she's still in Marigold. When is she expected to report to for duty in WWE? And when she leaves, what is that going to do to Marigold?
So my expectation is, because they said Heatwave for like the longest time, right? A bunch of people said Heatwave was a possibility. I'm guessing sometime in September when the CW is coming around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when they switch over to the CW. I think they're going to want her on there, Stephanie Vaquer on there, because those are going to be two big stars along with whoever else NXT has. I'm not going to sit here and lie and act like Trick Williams. Those will probably be their big three, truthfully. Joe Hendry too. You're not, you know, we can laugh, but it's true. Yeah. He's going to be one of the big stars. So I think that that's probably their goal right now, is to get her over there by September. I keep forgetting when the next NXT pay-per-view takeover, whatever that we want to call it is. But I'm gonna guess September. In terms of what happens to Marigold when she leaves, she just missed pretty much the past 2 months due to the wrist injury she got at the first show. So they've kind of already adjusted almost without her being around. And they put the world title, as everyone saw, on Sari instead of Julia, which I think is another sign that she's probably leaving sooner than later. Which you would think anyways, if she signed to WWE. It says she is the most unique free agent I've ever seen them sign, because I've never seen them just let someone like do an entire tour in another country. Like, we watched Vakera pretty much go through the WWE process, right? Of like, oh, we need you in here now, forget your dates, get here, right?
But totally blow off New Japan, blow off Rev Pro, blow off CMLL, just report for duty,
right? While Julia is doing a house show on Saturday and Sunday in Japan and doing a full tour, and they're not saying like when she's leaving. It's the weirdest thing ever. She's been signed since what, April?
Yeah.
And she's still not there. They said her name on TV this week.
They're still trying to keep her fresh in everybody's minds. It is really weird. And I think that shows the difference between a Julia and a Stephanie Vaquer. Because I'm not going to cast any dispersions on CMLL. I get the feeling they're not paying those folks a whole lot of money. While I think that Julia is probably making pretty decent coin, although the economy is way down in Japan right now, but she's probably doing pretty well to where she's not like starving to go to WWE.
She's probably making two contracts right now at this point.
Yeah. Which,
nice life, you know, because I'm sure that WWE deal is somehow paying her already. I mean, she was a top star in Stardom and then is the top star in Marigold. So it's like, that's got to come with some money, you know?
She's clearly ain't hurting for cash. All right. One last Joshi question, but it's kind of a TNA question. So I was able to watch Jordan Grace over the weekend, and she was in Sendai Girls. I'll be honest with you, until you DM'd me telling me that I should watch this match, I had never heard of Sendai Girls. I thought, you know, I'd heard of Stardom, and of course Marigold was becoming like a big thing, and I'd heard of Tokyo Joshi Pro, and I've actually seen some of this Tokyo Joshi Pro like on Wrestle Universe, but I'd never heard of Sendai Girls. And so she wrestled one, what's her name?
Chihiro Hashimoto.
Chihiro Hashimoto. Were they calling her Dump Hashimoto? Is that, or am I making that up?
I don't think they called her Dump Matsumoto. No.
No, I thought somebody called her that, because I know there's a Netflix documentary.
Yes, that is coming out about Joshi Legend Dump Matsumoto.
Yeah, Dump Matsumoto, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm actually gonna watch that. I'm looking forward to that. So, but yeah. So Jordan Grace and Hashimoto, that match freaking rocked.
Yeah. I told you. I knew you were a fan of Jordan, obviously. And I was like, okay, well, Hashimoto is like one of the best in Japan. She's not going over to face like nobody, you know? Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to tell him to watch this because I think he'll like it. And I'm happy he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a really good match. And if you're a Wrestle Universe subscriber, like I am, it's just on there. Like, it just comes to your service. But Marigold and then, of course, Destination, those were separate pay-per-views. So you had to pay a separate fee for those two. But Sendai Girls, this is just part of your service. So everybody, if you're a Wrestle Universe, I think this is not a free plug for my buddy Justin, but I think Wrestle Universe is like bang for your buck as far as wrestling services. I think that's like the best out there, for real.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. You get Noah, TJPW, Marigold, DDT, Sendai Girls, whatever Real 01 is. I don't know what the difference between 01 and Real, what 01 is.
One of them is clearly not real. So.
And I think you even get like Deadlock Pro on there now.
You do. And a lot of people have been telling me I need to start watching Deadlock Pro because they use a lot of TNA talent. And apparently the production is fairly good. So yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
I think they just booked like Mike Bailey and Jake something versus ABC. And I was like,
yeah,
wow, they just booked a better Mike Bailey tag team than TNA does. That's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of TNA, we got all of our TNA fans in the chat. Oh, hold on here. We got some people fact checking us. Let's see. NXT No Mercy September 1st. So there you go. No Mercy.
There you go. So
I think that's probably a good spot to have a Julia earmarked
right
for.
Before the CW.
Yeah. Io says, according to Thunder Rosa, there's more of the story between Stephanie and CMLL. I get the feeling that it wasn't just like for her to leave the way that she did. There had to be a little bit of heat there because that I think that's pretty vicious. That has to be about more than just money because the way that it went down made it seem like she just couldn't wait to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And then King says Sendai Girls is run by Mako Satomura, who is signed to WWE. So there you go.
Yeah, she is. She's wrestling her first matches there in over a year next week when they're in Japan.
Nice. All right, we're right up here on the hour mark, so let's get to our TNA Slammiversary preview. So Jordan Grace did an interview with Justin Barrasso from Sports Illustrated, and she was teasing big surprises coming to Slammiversary, and she said that nobody does surprises better than NXT and TNA. So what are we thinking these surprises could be? And does TNA and NXT do better surprises than any professional wrestling company in the entire world?
I think that might be strong.
Is it possible that Jordan was just like being a promoter?
Yeah, full promoter. It's like when you would hear like JR and some random AEW thing and be like, oh, that's the damnest thing I've ever seen. I'm like, no, it's not.
Like, it's the damnedest thing you've ever seen since the last damn thing you've ever seen. So.
Yeah. But I don't know if they do the best surprises, but I wish I could name some random NXT wrestler to show up. I can't. I think Izzy Dame showed up recently.
Izzy Dame was on last week. Yeah. And again, it's so funny because she came out and nobody knew who the hell she was. And yeah, I did not think that she was a real person. But I think that she is a fine talent. I thought Jordan Grace is clearly very good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she can care, but I think that's why TNA is sending NXT stars to TNA because like they can work with veteran talent and make them look good. And that's what Jordan Grace did for Izzy Dame. I don't know that she's going to get that working with Kalani Jordan. I just don't think that that's going to happen. So but she came out, nobody knew who she was. And then the same thing happened for the other girl, Tatum Paxley. She came out on Against All Odds a couple weeks ago and like came out to like almost silence. So, you know, if they get a big WWE name, a main roster name, okay, well then we're talking, then that's a big surprise. That would be cool.
AJ Styles.
I mean, if it's anybody other than AJ Styles, I don't want to fucking hear about it to be honest with you. Like, cause I've been, you know, he appeared on Slammiversary 2 years ago. During the 20th anniversary, but mm-hmm. via satellite. And I think it's time to get him inside the building at least, you know, one time.
Isn't Slammiversary sold out?
What's that?
Slammiversary sold out, right?
4,000 people. Yeah. They're actually trying to find a way to reconfigure the building so that we can let more people in. Cause they're expecting a heavy walk-up crowd too.
That's awesome. That's great news. So get AJ on that pay-per-view.
Yeah, dude, this is this Slammiversary. It's going to be I don't know about pay-per-view buys because Hard to Kill was the biggest one that they ever did. I don't think they're going to get to that because, you know, they're talking like way over 60,000. But as far as like a live event and tickets sold, it's the biggest event they've done in a decade.
That's awesome for them. You know, like I know a lot of people kind of like to crap on TNA, especially after they made this deal with WWE. But listen, wrestling's healthy when people are selling tickets. Yeah. It all comes down to tickets in my brain because I think it's because I watch a lot of Japanese wrestling and they're like that's their business still. But like, hey, sold out 4,000 plus. I'll take that. You know, all to see Ash by Elegance win a title,
in the semi-main. Before we get to the match by match, Moose was actually on an interview earlier this week, and he said that he feels that the partnership between TNA and NXT has been better for them than the one that they had with AEW. And AEW fans are so sensitive, man. They are really upset about that. They're so mad about that. Like, what's like? Why
they heard,
would they be
they
mad
heard Izzy Dane better than Kenny Omega? That's what they heard.
Yeah, that's exactly what they heard. Not that them being on WWE, like their stars getting on WWE TV, is getting them more exposure than they've had before.
Right.
Because TNA talents, other than the Good Brothers, they didn't go to AEW. And if they did, they were being signed by AEW, Deonna Purrazzo and Big Bill, right? So like they didn't actually get a chance to go over on Dynamite and get and be mixed up and be featured on their shows the way that Jordynne Grace, Joe Hendry, and now the Rascals have done. And I think we're going to see more of that. So that's why they're saying it. So he's saying it for two reasons. The first reason being they're able to go over there, which is what they want. I don't think sending NXT talent to TNA isn't really doing much for TNA, but sending TNA talent to NXT is doing a lot for TNA, right? So that's what they're saying. It's a completely different situation because Kenny Omega came to TNA and had an amazing run. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way everybody wanted it to, but he was able to pop at least one pay-per-view number, and he had a couple good ratings episodes. For the most part, didn't make long-term difference. And I think a lot of that had to do with more of the faults in TNA than it had anything to do with Kenny Omega. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think we can all be honest about that, but the way that they're looking at it is that their talent is becoming more famous by being able to go be featured on WWE television, being in the Royal Rumble, being on NXT. And I think that's absolutely true. Cause they just didn't get to do that in AEW. They just, when they had the AEW partnership, they didn't. And I think it's okay to say that. I think it's fair to say that. And I don't think that's not a slight on AEW at all.
I was going to ask you, like, what is your take on it? Because as someone that, like yourself, who has covered TNA for as long as you have, I do think it's like very unique, the relationship they have here. But like, I see the Rascals and Wes Lee on this Slammiversary card. I'm like, that rocks. You know, like, if you want to listen, for every Izzy Dame and every Noah Starr, Tavian Heights, for, you know, I don't know who Tavian Heights is, but I know that he's one on this show and two in the N1 victory tournament. For every one of them, though, if you get a Wes Lee while also getting exposure with the Joe Hendrys and the Jordynne Graces, it's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a good thing.
Well, here's why I prefer the current one over the AEW one. Although at the time, Kenny Omega was absolutely my favorite wrestler, and I would not have this show or this podcast or Brace for Impact. It would not exist if Kenny Omega didn't come over to Impact, because that's why we created it, because of the interest that it generated when Kenny Omega was on the show. Like that, and that's an absolute fact. So I'm always going to hold that in high regard. But I was on every week, and I had to listen to AEW fans complain about the fact that AEW was lowering themselves to working with Impact. And they were constantly saying, what are we getting out of this? What are we getting out of this? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Impact was in such a state. It was still pandemic. They had no fans. They were in such a state. They didn't really have any stars that could go over to Dynamite and do much of anything, other than they have like really good wrestlers. Like, nobody's saying that Josh Alexander and Eddie Edwards and those guys aren't good wrestlers. They are. And then they had Chris Sabin at the time and all that stuff. They could have went over there and had really good matches, but they weren't like AEW, like, only has so much TV time, and they had a loaded up roster. They're not going to be filling it with TNA wrestlers. Unfortunately, the TNA wrestlers, sorry, go ahead.
At the time, it was just Dynamite, right?
They had no Collision and I think no Rampage, and it was just AEW Dark, like on YouTube. So that's just what they had. So they only had so much TV time. They had a ton of wrestlers, and so they weren't really going to be bringing over TNA talents to be featured on the show. Unfortunately, the only ones that they did feature were the Good Brothers, and the AEW fan base revolted against having them on the show. So they saw that, and they were like, okay, well, we're just not going to feature Impact on the show. And then when we do, we're going to make sure that people know that it's lesser than product. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it was. And then, so that's why I prefer this one, because TNA talent is being featured on WWE TV, and that's helping them out. It's helping build their brands. Right. Joe Hendry is a bigger star now than he's ever been before. And a lot of it has to do with the crossover. But not only that, and I said it here last week on this show, and I said it on Brace for Impact, and I'm going to say it again so everybody can understand it. The TNA fans like this, and the NXT fans love this. Everybody's happy. So that I think, like, when I'm doing Brace for Impact, I don't have WWE fans hopping in the chat saying, why are we wasting time with TNA? In fact, they like the fact that TNA stars are on there. And in fact, the TNA wrestlers that are being featured on to NXT are better wrestlers than who NXT's has. Right. Like, yeah. So I think that's a mutually beneficial situation. So I really dig what they're doing right now. It's exciting.
It feels like NXT's way of having, I don't want to say like the indie stars, but like the high profile or higher profile quality wrestlers on the brand without having to sign them.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Like, it's a way for them to save money and give exposure to a company that they don't have a problem with. They don't have a problem with TNA.
And they can also avoid another monopoly lawsuit by saying, hey, look what we did for TNA.
Absolutely, they can.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
they're doing. Yeah. and that's legit. All right, let's go ahead and go to this card. Jan is in the chat. Jan, we're gonna get to you now. Okay, you've popped this one up here a couple of times, so we'll do the main event first. So we have in the main event, we have the TNA World Championship Elimination Match. We have Moose versus Nick Nemeth versus Macklin versus Josh Alexander versus Joe Hendry versus Frankie Kazarian, Scotty Wrestling. Who do you have winning the match? And those in the chat, go ahead and tell me who you got too.
Okay, I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I don't watch every episode of Impact. But to me, and you can tell me if I'm crazy here, but Joe Hendry feels like the biggest star right now this company has.
By far.
Why would you not make him world champion?
Okay. I have an answer for you. I have an answer for you.
I would like to hear your answer because I am legitimately asking. Before I make my pick, I do want to know, like, why wouldn't you make him?
I think outside looking in, it makes sense that you would have Joe Hendry win this match and become the world champion right now. I think that's absolutely a thing. And if they did that, I wouldn't be too mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bound for Glory is coming to the UK.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's if you're going to crown Joe Hendry as your world heavyweight champion, I think you save it for the UK. Cause he's a Scottish guy. If they're not in the UK, I did hear maybe like Paris, France being tossed around, but that's just right over the English Channel. I think you could probably get a lot of UK folks over there pretty easily. So I think that's when you do it. And I also don't think you want to crown your biggest star to be the world champion in a six-way match. Yeah. I think that's a waste to do it. Yeah. I think Kazarian fucks him over in the match, and then they do the match with Kazarian and at the next like TNA Plus special. And then that leads to Bound for Glory, Moose versus Joe Hendry. I think Moose keeps it.
I think that's a good call. So what you're essentially saying is they should do what AEW isn't with Will Ospreay. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying right now?
I think what AEW is doing, I think that's a very good point because we had John Muse on the show and his idea. And I know for a fact that there are people that are very important that actually listen to that episode. And his idea was to not do it this year, mm-hmm. but to do the Cody Rhodes thing and build it up for next year. Mm-hmm. And he can talk about how it was taken away from me. My moment was taken away from me. And now I'm going to fight to get back. And then you do a 1-year build to Will Ospreay winning at Wembley next year. Now I don't know that they're going to be able to make money at Wembley Stadium next year. It might be Wembley Arena or the O2 Arena or something like that. But I think that next year they'll do it in the UK.
I think it's a good call. I think John Muse would know better than me. He's the booker. Yeah. I am not. So I like that idea. If I looked at the sixth man and you asked me who I wanted to win, I wouldn't pick Moose. But I think your idea here makes too much sense to pass up. If you believe that Bound for Glory, which is the biggest show of the year for TNA,
they're having trouble locking in a location. So they were supposed to announce it a couple weeks ago. And I heard that there's been a snag, and that's why they haven't announced it yet. I'm hoping they announce it this weekend, and I still hope it's in the UK because I think the UK TNA at one point was like the number one promotion in the UK, and so they still have a lot of fans that are out there. So I think they could actually do decent business there.
I think it'd be a great plan, and if that is the plan, I'm behind it. I look at a six-man elimination match. I feel like you shouldn't crown a new champion in those matches to begin with, unless it's like, I guess, like an elimination chamber type. But this is just six men wrestling.
Yeah.
And it should be a good match. I'll say that. Should be a good match. A lot of good wrestlers in this match. But yeah, I think you're right with the Frankie Kazarian screwing Joe Hendry, because that's not done yet. We saw it. They brought that over to NXT, you know? Yeah. Like, that is something they've really focused on. So I think you're right. If I was to give a wild card pick, like trying to think who would be a good person for Joe Hendry to beat, just toss out like Steve Macklin, because I like Steve Macklin.
Yeah. I think Steve Mack is great. I think the one of the guys that's in the match that actually has the experience to get Joe Hendry to the next level and that knows how to work a main event match would probably be Ziggler. I think that he just like his experience level and he's a better heel than he is a babyface. So I think if he wanted it was a heel and then he could do the match with Joe Hendry down the road, I think that could work. But look, they haven't even started the build for Moose and Hendry just yet. So I think that's where they go. Go ahead.
This all feels like a chance to elevate him before he ultimately wins the title. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
Between the two brands that he's working.
Yep. Absolutely. Steven Patrick says, I agree. If BFG and this in the UK save Hendry winning the title for then, as over as Hendry's music is in UK, he will sell a lot of tickets. Yeah. I think that is the case. But Jan wants him to do it now. She says, strike while the iron is hot. Goldberg should have won the Elimination Chamber. But Triple H screwed him, and his backlash meant nothing. So, yeah, they pushed that one out a little bit. So, but, you know, the Goldberg thing was a little bit different. He was a little bit later in his run. But, you know, but, yeah. So, but I think that should be interesting. I'm going to go ahead and go with Moose on that one. All right. Semi-main event. Should be one of the great women's matches of all time, Jordynne Grace versus Trash by Elegance. I hope this match is 3 minutes long and Grace just destroys her because I'm so sick of it.
I feel like Ash is winning, which I hate.
Yeah.
I
don't like it either. Nothing would surprise me. I don't expect it, but it wouldn't shock me if they did that, especially now that it's very clear Jordynne Grace come January is going to be property of WWE.
Yeah, which honestly shocked she isn't already. No offense to TNA. I just think she's very good and has been and fits the type of wrestler they look for, which is like very unique and big time powerhouse. She's great though. Does Natty show up? That's a good shout. That would make sense.
Yeah. So Natty, Dan's asked, does Natty show up at Slammy? Natty just re-signed with WWE, but they have been teasing a match between the two for a long time. I think that wouldn't shock me. And Jordynne Grace is the one going out there teasing surprises. It would make sense that she's teasing surprise opponents for herself.
Yeah, I would like if Jordynne Grace retained. But I have much fear that Ash by Elegance is getting this belt, which is so wrong. I have asked for them to push Masha Slamovic as a single star for the past year, and they do not listen.
Yeah, well, I think through necessity they're going to have to, because she's very clearly is like Jordynne Grace is number one, Masha's number two in the company. But Masha has not been able to break through because she was number three on the depth chart when Deonna Purrazzo was there. Because they just saw those two as bigger stars, even though I think as far as bell to bell goes, Masha's better than both of them. But I think star quality, I think Jordynne is the biggest star of the three. Masha, you know, let me ask you this question. I really dug Masha's look when she was doing the character from Glow, when she kind of had the mohawk.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah. Now she kind of just looks like a normal, like kind of a punk rock wrestler now, like the hair's down. I think that has hurt her star quality a little bit.
I think that plus her losing like a million title matches. I feel like she lost a lot. I thought that look was great. I thought it was very unique. She kind of felt like a killer in many ways. If that is her eventual turn back to a single star, I would not be against it. Because like you said, it made her unique. Made her different. She's fantastic in the ring. Like that, you know, she's great. She's a great wrestler, But if you can get over with the character side of things as well, I think that'll do a lot of good for her. And like you said, out of necessity, my build mentally would be to Jordan versus Masha at Bound for Glory. You make a new star with Jordan going out sooner than later. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think Jordan's got to retain here, and then she goes to Bound for Glory, which I want to say, Io in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong, you're like an encyclopedia. Wasn't that the match from last year's Bound for Glory? So wasn't that Jordan Grace versus Masha just last year? I want to say, Io knows that. He'll know that off the top of his head, I'm sure. But I want to say they've done a pay-per-view match before, and so I think that would be good to kind of bring that back, and then Jordan puts her over, you know, gracefully, pun intended. And then, oh, okay, so 2 years ago. So it's 2 years ago, Grace and Masha. So I knew I wasn't stupid on that one. I knew that happened. So
2 years is crazy.
And that was a good match too. And so, but I think both are a lot better now. And so they can, they should be able to do that again coming up. All right. Oh, last year was Mickey versus Trinity. That's what it was. But 2 years ago was Jordan Grace versus Masha. Okay. All right. X Division Championship match. Mustafa Ali versus Speedball Mike Bailey. This is my main event of the evening. This has been the best built match the TNA has done in a long time. If you guys have not seen the build and the different segments that they're doing, Mustafa Ali is doing his best character work that he's ever done in his life. He is making Speedball more interesting than just a guy that does cool kicks and moves. He actually is like a sympathetic babyface going into this. And they're going to be doing it in Montreal, which should be a heated crowd. And Speedball is doing great babyface work. Mustafa Ali is the best heel in the company. I think this match is going to be fantastic. Who do you see winning this one?
You know, I think there's a way to look at both winning here. I think Mustafa Ali makes sense because he's kind of hot right now in terms of where he is in his character work. Like you said, he's made this title feel very important, in many ways, maybe the top title right now. And Speedball is like the perfect babyface to maybe take him down. You know, we look at these top matches. I feel like one of these three belts are going to change, right? One of the three top belts, I feel like, will change on this show.
Yeah.
But if Mustafa Ali, if he is signed to a deal, I think it's hard to take it away from him right now. You look at who they got. There's other contenders for him, but if you want the great match of the night, it feels like it'll be this.
I think this is going to be the one that sends the crowd home happy. I think this is going to be where we're looking at five-boy territory when it comes to, like, star ratings and all that. I don't do the star ratings, but I know that, like, if you're a fan of just matches, this is the match for you. And if you're a fan of heat, this is the match for you. And if you're a fan of strong character work, and some people don't like Ali's character, and I'm gonna answer King of the North's character or his question right here. Do y'all like this character? I personally like this character for Ali. He is essentially playing Donald Trump. What is kind of weird is after what happened on Saturday with Trump. Tonight, Speedball Bailey, they did a whole thing where Speedball Bailey ran the gauntlet, beating up all his Secret Service agents, calling them Secret Service, but they taped it a month ago. So I don't, but right now on Capitol Hill, they're trying to beat up Secret Service agents as well. So I do worry that based on the political climate, if they can continue on doing this type of character, because I actually wrote a storyline and I pitched it to John Muse. I was just up late one night for Ali doing this type of character. And in fact, so here's what I want to do. Here's what I want Ali to do. I want Speedball to win because they're in Montreal. I think you got to give that to him in his hometown. I want Speedball to eventually move up to the heavyweight division, kind of graduate from the X division and kind of go for the heavyweight title. Because I just think he's that good for this company. I don't think he could be the AEW heavyweight champion. I don't think he could be IWGP heavyweight champion, but I think he can be TNA heavyweight champion down the road. Okay. I think he's that good for this company. But here's what I want him to do. I want him to lose clean, and then I want him to come out afterwards and protest and basically try to contest the results of the match, try to have the match overturned. And I want him to threaten Santino and TNA with lawsuits. And then I want him to steal the title from Speedball And then eventually they have to do a peaceful transition of power ceremony between Speedball and Mustafa Ali. And then eventually, which leads to down the road, another Speedball and Ali match where they finally settle this once and for all. And then Speedball heads to the heavyweight division. I don't think they got that kind of balls, though. But if Mike was doing it, yes, hold on. Mike wants him to yell, stop the count. Yes, I do. I want him to go for it. I think that's perfect television. But after what happened on Saturday, I don't think you can do stuff like that.
I don't know. Hulk Hogan was just at the thing. I think anything's open.
he called Trump Donald Dick J. Trump. I was laughing my ass off of that. That was so funny. I was listening to that on my Sirius radio when I was driving earlier. That's so funny. All right. But yeah, I think Speedball wins that one. All right. The King of the North match of the night, AJ Francis versus PCO. It is for the Digital Media Championship and the International Heavyweight Championship. I mean, probably going to go 60 minutes, I would say. Tons of near falls and kickouts, a lot of cool moves and leg slaps and the whole deal. I think it should be a barn burner, brother. Who do you got?
AJ Francis.
You think PCO, after selling 4,000 tickets in his hometown, getting boots on the ground, doing all the radio, TV, and press, they have drinks named after him, burgers named after him, you think he's going to lose?
Yeah, because AJ Francis is the heel. It feels very fitting of stopping the guy that did all this work.
that would be a TNA move to do that.
I always called him Top Dollar, by the way. Yeah. Isn't there two titles on the line?
There is the International Heavyweight Championship and the Digital Media Championship. So, I don't think the match is going to be very good, but I like the build up to the match because AJ Francis purchased the old Montreal Territory belt, the International Heavyweight Championship that, Rick Martel and Dino Bravo and Joe LeDuc and all those guys held back in the day. I'm just a fan of wrestling history. Specifically, I've always been a big fan of Montreal wrestling history, especially after I watched I read the Andre the Giant book written by Pat LeBrod and Bertrand Hebert, I think his name is. So I kind of like that aspect of it, and they're trying to make it, trying to build some heat for Montreal, but I don't think there's a hope in hell that AJ Francis wins this match. It's a PCO all the way.
the AJ Francis post WWE run has been something to witness, that as someone that has not seen a single match of any of it. I say that respectfully.
I think he's probably only had 5 matches in TNA. He's been mainly just doing promos, and I think he's a good. He's a good heel, but in the ring, it's not his strong suit, so they just don't put him in the ring that often.
That's a good call. I remember that. That's a good. That's a very good call. If you can talk and you can't wrestle, you get by.
Well, and he brings like rappers to the show and shit, and he brings like influencers. So he's actually been pretty valuable to the company in that aspect.
And yet you guys have him losing to PCO.
Yeah. And then I think PCO is going to beat him pretty in like 7 minutes. All right. Let's go to the Knockouts Tag Team Championship match. Masha Slamovich and Alicia Edwards versus Spitfire, which is Danny Luna and Jody Threat. Who do you got in this one, Scotty?
I'm going to go with keeping the belts on Masha and Alicia. Alicia?
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I could see that. I think that's the way they go. Although I do think eventually they're going to have to pull the belts off of them, so that way Masha can challenge for the main championship. But yeah, I mean, they're the only 2 tag teams in the company. So,
yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why there's a division. TNA World Tag Team Championship. The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers versus the ABC. Who do we got in this one?
ABC's breaking up soon, right?
I thought they were for a little bit, and they've kind of rekindled their friendship. It looks like they're back.
Wrestling logic tells me they're actually going to break up finally. Everything's back to normal. You break them up. I've been hoping for these two to be world title challengers since I feel like I've been doing with Ace Austin for like 5 years now. Yeah. He's always been the guy that I've watched in TNA. Is like this guy's super talented. Like, why are you not going with him? I would like if they're not going to win the belts back, break them up. Let them go be guys. Have them have a rivalry, which will be interesting. Maybe bring them to Bound for Glory and just see where it goes. You know, I think they're two of the most talented in the company.
Yeah. Well, and I think if Ali loses the belt and he goes up to that heavy division, maybe Ace and Bay can go back competing for the X division title. And then, I mean, both of them have had like premium, like TNA Plus special main events for the world title, but they've never really been serious challengers. Like trivia note, Ace Austin was challenged Christian Cage for the TNA championship. When Christian Cage defeated Omega, he came over and he immediately defended it against Ace Austin back in the day. So they clearly see something in the guy, and they're both signed to this company for a long time. It's time to give them an opportunity at the top, I think.
They're both young too.
Yeah.
You have young stars. Push them. Can't stress that enough.
Yeah. I'll hold on. Alter the Squirrel says the system is going to win. Then MCMG pops out and y'all can laugh, but I'm calling it. Well, that is quite the prediction. Cause I'm pretty sure the Motor City Machine Guns are heading to WWE. So,
which is crazy, by the way.
Yeah. I thought they were AEW bound, but Sean Ross Sapp saying he didn't think that's the case. And they've been doing kind of an independent farewell tour. So that just tells me they're going back to WWE. Or not back. They've never been there. They're going to debut. Well, Alex Shelley had a couple of matches, but the Machine Guns have never been there together.
Can you imagine it? Motor City Machine Guns versus the Rascals on NXT television?
Yeah. Well, you know what? What's his name? Ben Carter and Axiom. I think that would be
pretty. That'd actually be fantastic. Yeah.
And no, I think you're right. Yeah, I think Gallus is pretty good. But other than that, yeah, they don't really. You know, the Chase U guys. I think the Chase U guys are pretty good too.
They're a good match. I just can't
remember their names.
Yeah. Nope. Got nothing.
Can't do it. All right, we're almost done here. On the pre-show, we got Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, or Zaya versus Giselle versus Tasha Steelz versus the returning Fabi Apache from she used to be AAA. I think she's a free agent now, but
that's Fabi crazy.
Apache coming to TNA.
I saw that match pop up on my feed today. I was like, "What? Wait, hold on, Fabi Apache. I haven't heard her name forever." Yeah. Giselle Shaw should win.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, she's the one that's getting kind of like a somewhat of a push. So, yeah, that makes total sense. Then we got the Rascals with Wes Lee versus the No Quarter Catch Crew. What you think here?
Rascals.
Yeah, all the way Rascals. I don't think you can defeat the Rascals at this point. And then probably the sleeper match of the night, the one that everybody's going to go home talking about.
Matt Hardy
versus JDC, baby. Who do we got?
I thought you were talking about the other match that I'm looking at here. So I did the Matt Hardy joke, and you just oh, yeah, Matt Hardy, I guess.
yeah.
Jeff got knocked out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff Hardy is injured and will not be able to cross the border into Canada only because of his injury, not because of his drug trafficking arrests and his DUI arrests and all that stuff. But I think this match just shouldn't happen. I think they should just cancel the match. But
it seems really.
And I'm not a guy that hates Matt Hardy, by the way. I happen to like Matt Hardy. He entertains me. Look, hey, IO Productions. I'm not done yet, dude. He's telling me the other two matches that I missed. They're on my list, bro. I promise. All right, Mike Santana versus Jake something. I think this will be a hell of a match if they let him do something. But.
I thought Mike Santana was a great TNA signing.
Yes.
And I think
he's been fantastic.
I think he's been great. And I think Jake something, when Jake something left TNA, I said, why is he gone? He was a perfect part of TNA. He's a guy that's really good. These two should have, you know, hell of a match. If there's a legitimate dark horse match of the night, I think it's this one.
I think it's this one too, especially if Jake something's going to turn heel, which they've been teasing for a while. It'd be pretty interesting to see him go heel. I think Santana's got to get the victory because he's the star of the two, and he's the one that they're pushing. I think there's a reason why he's not in that main event match, is because they want him to have a singles match with Moose, and I think he's going to do it on one of the specials. So
good special match.
Yeah,
good special title match. should say.
Yeah. And last but not least, we got New Japan legend Kushida versus the great Gresham, Jonathan Gresham, who leaks ink out of his hands. And now Kushida is spitting ink, by the way. So, but that's on the pre-show, so.
It's a choice. It's a gimmick, so I can't hate it, I guess.
It pisses me off that Gresham is such a good wrestler, and then I very much think this is his idea. I think this is all him, and he's trying something, and it just isn't working, dude. It just isn't working.
No, the day that he goes back to being a wrestler will be great.
Yeah, but I think because he's the guy with the character, I think he's going to get the victory here.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, guys. Well, man, we did a marathon show here, an hour and 34 minutes. Scott E. Wrestling, I really appreciate you being here, man. Why don't you go ahead and give us one more plug, and then we will call it quits.
Hey, you follow me at Scott E. Wrestling on Twitter if you feel like it. Most of my stuff is just Joshi now, but I do watch and talk about other things as well. So go follow me there. And like I said earlier, 5-star Joshi show over on the Fight Game Media Network. If you're into Joshi, you want to get into Joshi, it's a good show to do that.
Yep, absolutely. And this weekend, I will be back with a double dose of Brace for Impact. So I'll be doing my usual Saturday morning show where I'll be live on the Patreon. And that show is not going to get released anywhere. So it'll just be live on the Patreon, and I'm not clipping it for YouTube or nothing like that. So come join me this Saturday morning, and we will chop it up, and we'll answer all your TNA questions, and we'll talk about tonight's episode that I have yet to watch, but I will watch probably tonight or tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, I will be reviewing the Slammiversary pay-per-view from Saturday night. I will not be able to go live after Slammiversary because I have a family obligation. So I'm going to push that back a day, and I will be live on the Mike and JD Show YouTube channel as well as Patreon. You can get the whole thing there on those two platforms Sunday night, and I will be breaking it down, and I will be wearing my Big Con t-shirt that I designed myself and I sold to myself. I will be wearing that show because I lost the bet, and I said that TNA could not get 3,000 people for Slammiversary. And those sons of bitches got 4,000, and I deserve this pain. Ooh. But I will gleefully, because I'm happy for the company, I will be wearing that t-shirt.
I have one more question to ask you before you wrap up, because I meant to. Name one surprise for Slammiversary.
Oh, yes. You know what? We didn't even get into that. One surprise. Well, I mean, for me, like the only surprise, I think we talked about it a little bit, but the only surprise that matters for me would be if they got AJ Styles on the show somehow.
Of course.
So upper tier AJ Styles, like probably non-realistic tier AJ Styles, Natty Neidhart, I think would be cool because they've been teasing Natty. Realistic tier. I don't even want to say the man's name because it'll make too many people happy. But I will just he's got to come, right? Like, yeah. Okay, Jinder Mahal. I think like realistic tier. We're probably looking at Jinder, right? I mean, like, he's got to be there.
I would be shocked if he wasn't, truthfully. Yeah. I'd be absolutely blown away if he doesn't show up on this show. Face-to-face with... I can't even think of a match that even sparked... Him face-to-face with PCO. There you go.
Him face-to-face with PCO, or him face-to-face with Matt Hardy. There you go. Hold on, King. He just said something cool, man. I don't know if this is true, brother. If this is true, please tag me. Please. Oh, he said that's my unrealistic want. Okay, sorry. I'm not gonna say it then. I thought he was breaking some news here because I was gonna warm my heart. I'm friends with Joe Doring on Facebook, so that would him appearing on the show would be a big deal to me because I happen to be a big fan of his. So, but yeah, you know what? Yeah, realistically. Probably Jinder Mahal, somebody like that.
I'll throw out one that you haven't said. Trevor Lee, the former Cameron Grimes.
You know what? He won't be available. His contract doesn't expire till next week. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has one more week left on it. But
I'm trying to give you a talented guy.
He's a very talented guy. I could see him being in TNA, but I think he's also a guy that AEW would probably want for like Ring of Honor.
Yeah, if they cared. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, guys. Well, hey, that's going to do it for us on this week. I really appreciate Scotty. This is one of the longest episodes we've done in a long time, man. So I appreciate you holding strong with me. I know it's really late where you're at, so I do appreciate it. All right. Everybody in the chat, we'll talk to you again next week. And until next time, mahalo.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.